Welcome to Comically Comics, your one-stop listen to all things comics. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, video games, and more. I must forewarn you, though, we are a spoiler cast, and what that means is we consider all properties, past, future, and present, to be valid, and we will spoil the hell out of them. I'm your host, Michael, along with my two co-hosts, Richard and Jeremy, and with all that being said, let's get started.
All right, it is Sunday, May 3rd, and we are back with Daredevil Episode 7. We're going to catch up with Karen Page now that she's in the lockup, and we got to catch up with Daniel and BB as well, see what's going on there, and see how Fisk is going to sit there and handle things now that seems like his anchor, maybe his rock, I don't know, but Vanessa is gone. So, Jeremy, what's your whelming for Episode 7, Hateful Darkness?
I will say that I was pleasantly whelmed. It has some really good moments. Felt like it was moving, really moving the story forward. And I'm excited to see next steps there as far as the case goes and, you know, learning about Karen and kind of seeing where we go with that. Next episode, we'll find out more about Daniel, I guess, and see if he's coming around or not.
More about Daniel.
Yeah.
I want to know more as soon as we get into this.
I think he's burying the lead.
Richard, what is your whelming on this?
I wrote I was pleasantly whelmed with this episode. This episode and the last episode was just a fun ride. From last week's episode, just... Mm. I was trying to include something to say about this episode other than just like, hey, I liked it. So anyway, I thought it was a fun ride, this episode.
Gotcha. I was whelmed to pleasantly whelmed with this. I see what they're doing. Like, we got, what, one more episode left, and then that's the finale for the season.
I forget. So, yeah, I want to say it's 8 or 9, but it's probably 8.
So we're tying things up and probably getting things set up for the next season as well. My thing is, like, I love the action part of it, and we don't really see Daredevil necessarily in action. But some fun stuff really happened, though, and a lot of loose ends kind of getting tidied up, it seems like. We start off with them putting Karen in lockup, and I was honestly really surprised that Kingpin is back to just using normal jails.
Oh, right.
Like, we got rid of all the dog kennels and went back to just normal, just straight up prison
Didn't
cells.
Didn't they blow all that up, though?
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was too, but I mean, obviously, there throughout the episode, you find out kind of why he's doing that. He's trying to make it more actual official, so he can try and, like, I think he realizes that he is losing the city some, but doing it this way, he's doing it by the book, and he's also, you know, broadcasting it. So it's crossing all the T's, dotting all the I's type thing as far as making sure that everything's done right and so that, you know, none of that can get turned against him type thing, but also doing whatever he can to make it as public and known as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes and no, because, like, that whole tribunal thing is just not something that would fucking happen in real life unless it was like a full on. But even then, it's like the mayor of New York, he would have to, I know he's got the AVTF, he'd have to have like a whole army to like do all the stuff that Fisk is doing, because the governor and even like other politicians and even the president would be like, what the fuck are you? Nah, you ain't doing this.
We see Kingpin come to the prison to visit Karen. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I thought it was completely out of character for him to do his whole monologue thing. And then at the end, like, scoff, ha! Like, that kind of threw me off. I didn't think that was very Kingpin-ish. But at the same time, he reaches in and grabs Karen by the throat. And I'm like, that's very Kingpin-ish. And it almost sounded like he, like, popped her neck a little bit or something. Kingpin seems to be getting back to like this ruthless stage. Do y'all feel like he's doing the same?
Yeah, I do. And then at some point, people are going to learn not to come within arm's reach of Kingpin.
That is exactly. One of my notes was, Karen, don't get within arm's reach. And as I was typing that out, Kingpin reaches in and grabs her. And I was like, what did I fucking say?
Yeah. I like seeing him getting his hand, getting kind of, like you said, a little bit more ruthless with it. Karen pointing out too, like, you know, she's trying to get under his skin a little bit, saying that he's scared or whatever. I don't know that he's necessarily scared, but obviously with the loss of Vanessa, you can see he's starting to come more and more unhinged, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't necessarily think he's scared. I think he's frustrated, severely frustrated right now. So not only like with the loss of his wife, but, and I think she was more of like kind of his rock kind of thing, where he found stability there. But he also talks later on about love being a cell, and he just didn't think he'd be doing it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think that goes back to like the Netflix series where his mom was like his best friend and really the only person who loved him, and after she was gone, he had no one, and then Vanessa came along, and now that she's gone, he feels again like he's locked up in his little prison cell looking at the wall while his dad is like beating him. But technically, again, Echo healed all that trauma, so I don't know why they're kind of like referencing that. But he called Karen. He was like, "You're a criminal," and I was like, "Pot calling the kettle black, there, Kingpin." Like,
but he does it all for the city, though.
You dip my city, like whatever. Like, he's still a fucking criminal. Like, he used to deal in fucking human trafficking and drugs and all sorts of stuff. He's a criminal. He's as criminal as they come.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get the name Kingpin without being a criminal, right?
Yeah, you don't get the nickname Kingpin of Crime without being a criminal.
From there, we get to catch up with Matt and Jessica Jones as well. We find out that Cherry is alive still. It's been a long time since we've seen him. I like old Cherry. I'm glad to see he survived the heart attack.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I did too. I wrote, I was like, holy shit, Cherry, I forgot about him. He's alive. But I know the head writer, Scarta Payne, has said there will be no Spider-Man in the series, but for a split second, they were on a rooftop. And Daredevil was like, there's someone I want you to meet. And for a split second, I was like, oh, wait, never mind, it's Cherry. Fuck.
It's like the same reaction when everybody was talking about a physicist in WandaVision. And they're like, fuck, it's going to be Reed.
Yeah.
It's going to be motherfucking Reed. No. No, or the infamous, somebody who didn't even get a Funko Pop.
Yeah. Or the infamous Mephisto or all the other ones.
I was glad to see Jessica again. However, like, it's kind of short-lived. Well, I say somewhat shortly. We get another scene with her later on. And then at the very end of the episode, though, we see her walking. And I know I'm skipping to the end, but it's only because I don't know where she's walking. I thought for a second it was in the cathedral.
It is
but
in the cathedral.
Is it in the cathedral?
Yeah, you see the blood on the floor. And then you see, like, the lighting. And then she's, like, walking in between the pews. And
I for whatever reason, it was, I don't know if it was the angle of the lighting, what it was, it didn't seem to match where Matt was at that point in time for me. So I must have just misseen it or whatever. So, but yeah, I was wanting to clarify that. The main plot for this episode is, y'all were talking about it earlier, they're doing a trial for Karen, and it's still this whole, like you said, there's tribunal style, you know, guilty or not guilty at the end, there's no jury kind of thing. And Karen gets, what's her name? The other attorney lady.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember.
I never remember her name. Give me a second. I'll find it.
Yeah, I can't think. It's the black lady. I can't remember her name, though. But they get a co-attorney as well, some help. And it's Matt Murdock. And it's this game Matt's wanting to play with Fisk of, you know, Fisk is very much televising this trial, and Fisk had said earlier on in the series of, like, Matt Murdock's missing, he saved my life, we need to find Matt Murdock, blah 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 blah. Well, now Matt comes out of the shadows to sit there and actually represent Karen Page in this.
It's Kirsten McDuffie.
Yes, thank you. She's cool. I like her.
Yeah. No, I do
she's
too.
Sassy.
I like the reveal of Matt. I kind of knew that was coming.
Yeah.
With that whole, like, him talking with Karen when they bring back. But sorry, I don't mean to change scenes. But, like, that scene where she gets pulled out of prison for a second to go talk with Matt in his Daredevil costume on the street. That guy who came up to her and she's like, Brett, did y'all know who that was originally?
No. Oh, yeah, it was Brett.
I had
no fucking idea. I was like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, I legitimately had the same. I was like, fucking who? But I looked him up, and the reason why I don't remember him is he's from the Netflix series.
Oh, cool.
In it, he's Brett, I think Brett Mahoney as well. And he was he grew up with Foggy, and he became a policeman, and Foggy became a lawyer, and they kind of had this rivalry going on, and then he would always give him food or, like, small bribes to get tips on cases, and it's that guy, but I didn't recognize him because he wasn't in his plea. Like, he wears, like, a traditional, like, the black, like, police uniform.
Right.
And then now he's, like, chief of police or whatever. I forget what he said, what his title was, but he's wearing, like, a suit now. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, because there was, like, a whole episode of, like, Foggy dealing with him, but he was in, like, straight, like, blues. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in police uniform garb, not a suit and tie and all that other shit, not detective gear. Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but back to your original thing with the whole tribunal trial thing. I figured Matt was gonna come in and finally reveal himself. I even thought maybe he was gonna reveal that he's Daredevil or something. I thought maybe it was gonna be something like that. But yeah, I like the cool entrance when he comes in, and then, like, the cameras are all, like, the reporting and stuff is all going nuts, and then you can tell Kingpin. I don't think he planned on that. I know he said that, like, do you think Karen knows that she's the wounded warrior crying out for help so that she can draw in the rest of her friends?
Yeah.
But I don't think he thought Matt was going to show up there. I think he thought maybe Daredevil was going to swoop in and try to, like, break her out and leave.
Right. I agree with that. I thought the same thing. And I even thought the same as far as Matt coming in and revealing he was Daredevil. I honestly thought he was going to come in as Daredevil, not tear anything up or beat anybody up or anything like that, but just reveal himself to be Matt Murdock, the Daredevil. And it's all because of, like, a bunch of a photo came out, and it's, you know, kind of hinting at something else. And so I was like, oh, well, this is how, you know, he winds up somewhere else. So,
yeah,
all the code talk.
Yep.
Yeah, I like this chess game that's being played between Matt and Kingpin. I'm kind of enjoying that. So it's a nice distraction from the action violence that we get. So I think it shows just a different dynamic in the actual show itself.
Yeah, I like it as well.
Back to Jessica Jones, because we get a scene with her and Charles. And she just kind of just shows up in his room, just watching him sleep like a creeper. And he wakes up and he's kind of freaking out a little bit because it's Jessica Jones. And we get some more information on Luke Cage. So she's definitely still got feelings for Luke. And more than likely, that is actually Luke's child that Jessica has. And but he's overseas doing something.
Yeah. He said the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Which, I don't think, knowing Charles, I don't think that Luke went over there to be a missionary. Like, I don't think he's actually feeding the hungry or help building schools for the poor or whatever it may be. I have a feeling he's doing some sort of wet work over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the back and forth between them, and I like Charles kind of calling her out as far as her powers go, because he's like, oh, little birdie told me that your powers are coming in and out. So, who's the little birdie, and who all is she telling that her powers are, you know what I mean? Like, Jessica Jones is not one that just walks around telling everybody, oh, I'm losing my powers, y'all. Like,
He's ex-CIA, or not ex, he's CIA, I don't know what the fuck he is. He's some sort of, like, government official, so it's at least believable that he can use some sort of way to spy on her to figure that out. Or maybe it was actually Birdie.
What? That name sounds familiar. Who are you? Like,
you always forget Birdie. Birdie from the What If series.
Yeah, he probably does have a connection with Birdie. You're probably right. That's, we're calling that canon now. That's how What If is now part of the MCU, like, legitimately.
That's funny.
We catch up with Dex as well. And Matt lets Dex go and tells him, go disappear, do whatever you want. But if you actually want to redeem yourself, if you actually want to get forgiveness of your sins kind of thing, there's one thing that you could do. And he just kind of leaves it open into that, and we don't know. And then later on in the episode, we catch up to him, and we're at the, is it the, I think it's the governor's house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the governor's mansion or whatever, but yeah.
And she's wanting to get the port closed down, and she got word from Charles on that. She's called it in to try and get things rolling on that. And somebody comes in to, like, kill her. And Dex comes in last minute, throwing things off the chandeliers, whatever else, kills this guy, gives her a little nod, walks on out the house like, did my job, clean and fleary, let's go. What'd y'all think of that?
I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, like, because, like you said, whenever originally was saying it about he has that one favor to kind of wipe it clean or balance the scales, part of me was wondering if it was dealing with something with Karen. But then, yeah, whenever they kind of kept showing the governor's house, and Charles had mentioned, kind of giving a hint that Kingpin was going to go after and kill the governor, I was like, oh, that must be where Bullseye's going. So, but I thought that was pretty cool how they had set it up and everything.
My first thought was, before Matt shows up in court, I thought, because Bullseye impersonated Daredevil in season 3, I thought maybe Bullseye was going to impersonate Daredevil for some sort of mission. I don't know what, like, to rescue Karen or something. I didn't know, to, like, show that, like, Daredevil's here and Matt's here or something, but I don't know. I thought that was really cool. And comic Bullseye is an irredeemable psychopath. MCU Bullseye, I'm really starting to wonder if they are going to put him as an anti-hero for, like, the Thunderbolts or the new Avengers, or I kind of wonder, because of the Disney Plus series, they say they are interconnected with the MCU, but I'll believe it when I actually see, like, Pedro Pascal or Robert Downey Jr. show up on one of the shows. I kind of wonder if they're going to make Charles is going to be head of the Thunderbolts, and Bullseye is going to be one of the members, and maybe Luke Cage, God, Danny Rand, Jessica Jones, or maybe they're going to be the Defenders. I don't know, but
yeah.
Maybe it's leading to that.
My note, I put definitely Dark Avengers.
Okay.
That's what I put. I feel like we kind of did the Thunderbolts thing. They had a movie. Mm-hmm. They've turned into a new Avengers. I feel like that kind of, and the success of that, I feel like it kind of opens the door for things like Dark Avengers, where it's like, yeah, these were all people that had a past, but, like, this guy is definitely a bad guy.
Yeah.
That really wants to be good or something. I don't know. Or that can still be bad. I don't know. But
yeah, I think it's so he can still murder people but feel good about it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because I don't see the Thunderbolts necessarily leaving bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they have that new Avengers style title and associated with the government and whatnot. But, like, if you had a Dark Avengers, I could see them being like, oh, fuck, it's just bodies.
Yeah.
Just counts.
Let's play that real quick. Who do we think in the MCU would be on this team?
Oh. Who would be on this team? That's a good question. I got nobody off the top of my head. Because I'm trying to fit them. Do what?
Elektra, for sure.
Yes, if they brought her back, which I feel like they are.
Yeah, they're going to. It's just a matter of time. It's not if, it's just when.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do that, if we're going to say Elektra, Frank Castle for sure.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and say Red Hulk as well.
Okay, so we're pulling from the movies. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see a diverse power set other than just like they're all mercenaries with like stabby weapons.
I pulled that team for the most. You said Elektra, and it made me instantly think of there was a Thunderbolts team that was Frank, Elektra, Red Hulk, and I want to say like Venom or Agent Venom or something like that.
Gotcha. Maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Who? Like, the problem is all the villains are dead.
The leader.
No. Justin Hammer.
Oh, man. I'd love Justin Hammer. Yes. Jeremy, you want to throw anybody out?
No. Yeah, I don't know anybody.
That's funny.
Is Taskmaster dead?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She died in Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Shit, she didn't even make it on some posters. That's the whole reason we knew ahead of time that she died.
Yeah. We could do Baron Zemo.
Oh, yeah, that's a good pull.
He'd be a good leader for the group.
Yeah. That would be a good one. And, I mean, he was on Disney Plus show as well. So, yeah, that'd be fun. That would be fun. I liked him. I liked his character. Let's catch up with Daniel. Okay, we're talking about people that could be a part of this team. Buck could sure be a part of this team, okay? That motherfucker is ruthless.
He is.
So Daniel is like back and forth. Does he save himself? Does he save BB? He sets up to hand BB over. Last minute, BB talks her way out of it and gets out scot-free. Daniel goes inside to do the right thing, as he says. And Buck is like, well, I gotta do what I'm paid to do, bro. So he beats the shit out of Daniel. And then the whole time there's a montage going on, and he's had enough of Daniel. Because he won't tell him where BB is, and he pulls a gun on him. Did y'all think he was going to pull the trigger? Did y'all think he was going to back off?
I don't know. I mean, my initial thing was that, yeah, just Daniel was gone. You saw throughout the last few episodes just kind of how their whatever connection, their relationship, whatever, was growing a little bit. And so, you know, whenever Daniel was talking to him a little bit, you could tell it got to him some, but I wasn't sure. And I don't know, you know, yes, he pulled the trigger, it fired, his head hit the floor. Didn't necessarily show where he shot him. So I don't know.
are we really doing Michael's version of like, we didn't see a body? Yeah. Are they Cole Northing us on Daniel as well? If Daniel comes back, I'm gonna fucking riot, just because I'm like, then like, what's the point of anything? Yeah. Like,
that's hilarious. I never questioned him being dead. That's funny though. What was your thoughts, Richard?
So he's kind of, I wouldn't say begging for his life, but he says the line to Buck, and I think that got through to him. Mm-hmm. He's like, how long is it before you're on the floor begging for your life? And I think that's going to resonate with Buck in either the next episode, or if Kingpin is involved in season 3 and Buck's there, then that's going to resonate with him. I think he killed Daniel for sure. I did not expect it. I mean, I kind of did. I don't know. When he did that hesitation, by the way, I loved that entire Matt is praying to the Saint Jude. And while he's saying the prayer, it's cutting to people who are in need, including Kingpin. And then it shows Buck and Daniel, and then it ends on that moment, and there's like a hesitation there, and then boom, and right. It's done. And I think Buck is, again, we've learned more about Buck this season, so it's like he hesitated because he did like Daniel deep down, but at the end of the day, he's like, all the stuff that he told Daniel about how, like, I was nothing, and then now because of all the stuff that I've done, I'm here now, so I can't just give up on that. Unfortunately, that means he has to do, terrible things.
Yeah.
But I do think those words from Daniel are going to maybe make him turn over a new leaf or something in the next episode.
And join the Dark Avengers with Dex.
And join the Dark Avengers. Yes, I forgot that. Yeah. He'll be, I don't know, he'll be Cashman, since his name is Buck Cashman.
No, he's Bullet.
He's Bullet? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's his, like, comic book name or whatever.
Is he? Oh, okay.
Bullet Cashman or something like that.
Oh, is he? Oh, okay. I forgot that he's a comic book character. My bad.
Yeah, my notes were, Daniel gonna die, and then this was right before when he was, like, getting the shit beat at him. Then I wrote, never stood a chance. Like, just...
Yeah. All my notes were like, good man, Daniel. I was like, poor guy's going to die, though. And then later on, I was like, when he says the fuck you, Buck, I was like, good man, Daniel. And then I was like, but you're still going to die. And then when it happened, I was like, he died with honor.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was going to die at first, obviously, because my notes. But then the hesitation came up, and just the look on Buck's face, not once, but like two or three times, I was like, oh, shit, he's actually going to get to him. He's going to make it out. And then he shot, and I was like, oh, nope, never mind. I take it all back.
Well.
Well, we then catch up with Karen. She's in the lockup, and old Heather comes by to do an evaluation, and then you got Karen turns the pages on Heather a little bit, and then Heather's inner muse starts to show. She goes to start asking Heather a question about, loving somebody, not knowing who they are next to them and all that other kind of stuff, and, like, what does that make you when you're that person? And trying to get underneath Heather's skin because she knows that she was with Matt. So my response to that was, it says you're fucking crazy, Karen. It says you're fucking crazy. So did y'all have a similar response?
I mean, I think it was just two crazies battling it out. Like, I don't know.
To see who's the craziest.
Yeah. And it's got to be a warning to any other female that wants to date Matt. It doesn't come out at very well for you at the end, apparently. You get some kind of mental game gone wrong on you.
Yeah, my when we were watching it, my wife and I were talking. We're like, what is Matt's dick made of that causes crazy? Like, it's like cursed.
Yeah. I guess She-Hulk already has Hulk in there, so she can.
Yeah,
she's okay.
Yeah. I forgot about him and She-Hulk. Yeah, I just remember being like, oh shit, it's Matt's crazy ex-girlfriend and current crazy girlfriend meeting each other. I was like, oh no.
I was like, oh, this is a whole lot of room that I don't like right now. Can we just skip this scene? That'd be great.
I do think, like with Jeremy's joke last week with the 50 Shades of Heather, I do think, like, she gave off very, like, Dommy Mommy, like, fucking vibes in that scene. Because I was just like, what the fuck is happening here? What's about to go down here?
I don't like where it's headed with Heather, obviously. Mm. Through our talkings. But after having, like, skimmed through the origin of the female muse in the comic books,
mm-hmm.
I like what they're doing with muse, and I think I like it better than what they did in the comic books. In the comic books, if you don't know, muse basically was like a spirit from hell and came and visited, I can't think of this girl's name now. but it's not Heather. And like talked to her and influenced her to become the next Muse, and then like possessed her body and took on female Electra. So I like this idea though better, that basically Heather was scarred by Muse so much that it's kind of like fucked with her mentally.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anything about the female Muse. I didn't even know Muse was a spirit. I thought he was like just a normal dude.
He was, and then he died. Went to hell.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Then came back as a ghost, essentially. Right. And, like, it's a whole thing. Elektra Daredevil went to hell, and it's fucking weird.
Yeah. It's because, it's a comic thing. Yeah, I get it.
Right. I just like them doing this better than he's a ghost. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just more of that near-death encounter kind of broke her psyche, and she's just seeing visions of him. I'll be honest with you. The other note that I wrote was that it gave vibes of Batman Begins, where Jonathan Crane meets, was it Falcone?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's like, he's just trying to use Jonathan Crane to, like, get out of the prison. He's like, oh, help, Doc. The walls are coming in on me. And then he's like, I want to show you my mask. And then he, like, sprays him with the fear gas. I really thought maybe she was going to do that with Karen or something. She was, like, going to be like, I want to show you my mask and, like, put on the, like, Muse mask or something. But it didn't happen. But it felt like the same scene almost.
If they were going to do it, that actually would probably be a good way to doing it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be better than what we get. We have Matt walking Kristen out to the parking lot, and they're kind of like trying to keep her safe because the task force has been hanging out and like after the trial, waiting to see what's going to happen with Karen. And they get gunned down, essentially, or at least pinned down. Matt gets hit, shoves his walking stick into the window. Like,
did he kill that man? Because he threw it. It went through the windshield, and like, I went back and paused it. It looks like it's in the guy. Look, he actually speared the driver. And I'm like, did he fucking kill a man?
I think he did. I think that was the whole reason of him going and saying prayers.
Okay.
I mean, he's shot. Like, you would think he'd be going to the hospital right now to get, you know, this bullet taken care of because keep from bleeding out. No, no, no. We've got to stop by the cathedral here first. I got to say my Hail Marys because I just killed a man.
I wrote a note. I was like, is Matt going to pray the bullet away? Like, what is he doing? I was like, where's Night Nurse? Like, this would be a great time to call Claire.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, good and damn well. Freaking Rosario Dawson has got a contract to do something like this. Come on, y'all.
Yeah. The other thing, though, that pissed me off about that is those were police officers, and the AVTF in an AVTF vehicle with AVTF guns wearing AVTF like suits, like uniforms, are shooting police officers. And I'm just like, those cops would call back up, and there would be like this war going between like the cops and the AVTF. I was just like, what the fuck is happening right now?
I don't know. Like, it almost feels like that's sloppy of Kingpin.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, is it just cockiness? Is it sloppy? What's I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, I think the idea was originally, like you said, the whole, like, with Karen being the, like, wounded warrior calling out for help to draw the allies to her so that he could kill all of them. I think that was the plan. So, like, when McDuffie comes in and then they kill her and everyone else, but they just didn't plan on Cherry and all the other cops being there. Of course, Matt. And it was sloppy, but I think Fisk is still emotional from all the stuff with Vanessa, and he's being sloppy right now.
Yeah.
Real quick, back to Bullseye. When he saves the governor and he throws the throwing knives into the guy, and it cuts to that guy on the floor, he's got one in his arm and one in the side of his head, and he's still moving. And I'm like, How is that guy not dead?
Yeah.
I was just like, he killed a man with a lobster. How is he not dead?
Maybe it's just the muscles reacting. Like,
oh, you think it was like a death twitch?
Yeah. I mean, if it kills Vanessa, like, surely that kills that guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was kind of my thought as well.
And then the doctor that could save him is dead. It's broken in two, basically.
Per this season, he doesn't have a good track record. He's 0 for 1. So, yeah. So.
Who? Bullseye?
No, the doctor.
The doctor, yeah. Yeah.
Even though he's the best, per Kingpin.
The last note I had is just a silly thing, was when they were doing the Karen trial, tribunal, whatever you want to call it, Powell takes the stand and Powell's talking and he just gets really deep. And I was like, why does he sound like a frog? He had so much like vocal fry. He was just like, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
I was like, or is it just that you just hate Powell so much that it's just trying to find something?
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I do hate him, but he did sound like a frog. If you go back and rewatch it, I was watching it with headphones on. I was just like, why? Like, he doesn't normally talk that like deep and like gravelly. So I was just like, why is he? I don't know. It's just weird. Anyway, what were you saying about Cole North?
I like when they brought him up on the stage or on the seat, and they
the
were
stand.
Yeah, and they were interrogating him as far as, like, why were you at Murdoch's apartment? And they're like, oh, it's a wellness check. And she's like, a wellness check with all that firepower? Like, for a blind man? And I was like, hey, look at you, Kristen. That's why I like you.
Yeah. Yeah, they showed up not only armed to the teeth, but they showed up in an armored personnel vehicle.
Yeah.
But that's it for me, man.
Cool. Jeremy?
No, yeah, that's all I got.
Awesome. I'm pretty positive next week is the season finale, so we'll have that. And then the next week, I'm pretty positive that Punisher drops. One more kill, one last kill, one of those. So I assume we'll be doing those back to back. But in the meantime, Jeremy, where can they find you at?
They can find me on Twitch under the handle Night Fury GTO. That's Night with a K. And you can find me here.
Awesome. Richard?
If you want to contact me directly, I have an X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram, a Blue Skies, and a Threads. My handle is Night Curry. Night, like day and night, and Curry with a K. If you want to contact us directly, we have a Gmail. Our Gmail is comicallycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, possibly TikTok, we'll see. And Instagram, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics Podcast. And if you want to check us out on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics with an X.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram, eBay, and Shortbox, 22_comics. You can also find me on YouTube at 22comics. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did making it. With all being said, say goodbye, Jeremy.
Bye, Jeremy.
Goodbye, Jeremy. Goodbye.